Back on Maryland's Morning News, I'm Bill Vanko, and as the old saying goes, sometimes you're good and sometimes you're lucky, and it appears that Chris Matthews, host of Hardball on MSNBC, has been very lucky this week because on the very same day the government shut down, he came out with a new book called Tip and the Gipper, When Politics Worked, which looks back to when Ronald Reagan was president and Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House, and when, despite their deep philosophical differences, people weren't talking about gridlock in Washington. They were still managing to accomplish some things. Chris Matthews is on the WBAL Newsline this morning. Hi, Chris.
Bill, thank you.
Well, so what was different? Can you boil it down to one thing, or has there been a cultural shift over the years?
I think there was a respect, and these are older guys. Even then, they were about 70 years old, and I think they respected institutions. I mean, deadlines really meant something to them. And they respected each other's office. I mean, Tip always had the president of the United States. And Reagan, despite his Hollywood background, really had this tremendous respect for the Congress. So I think they really worked better because they were more formal, more restrained, believe it or not, than we are today.
And they were both O'Neill and Reagan were kind of larger-than-life personalities. You can argue there's a lot of white bread in D.C. these days.
Yeah, also, along those lines, if Tip said something he would agree to, like a Social Security deal, or a tax reform deal, it was almost visceral that the Democratic liberals would be with him because he was one of them. He really was the big version of most of them. Reagan began the modern conservative movement, so when he said it's okay, a deal on something, on debt ceiling, there was no noise because they were really examples of their movements, you know, and so they could speak for their parties very effectively. President Obama, despite his obvious intelligence, is a bit of a loner. Poor John Boehner, the speaker today, is really not really representative of a party that has moved much further to the right than he is. I think that's a fair statement.
Meantime, we've heard over and over again this week how much people hate Congress, but is there any doubt in your mind that the overwhelming majority of these people will probably get reelected next year? I mean, do we as voters need to get something of a stiffer spine?
Well, you have to look at the primaries because these districts are also apportioned so that like the 230 of them, a strong majority, all voted against Obama. That explains why these people are very confident in voting against him. See, what's happened is because of segregated housing and neighborhoods, you have all the big cities with minorities and even liberals living, white liberals too, living in big cities, and they vote like in my city of Philadelphia, 85% for Obama. The Bay Area of California, San Francisco, 85% in Nancy Pelosi's district, Barbara Lee's district. So in those districts, you have so many Democrats, and Baltimore's the same, so many Democrats that they sort of flood the zone. Then you go out into the suburbs, and people are winning with 52%, 53%, and they win by narrow majorities, but they're basically leaning Republican in most cases. So it just doesn't work out to represent the population very well, except when you run for president, then all the votes count statewide.
Give me an example from the book of how Reagan and O'Neill would work things out.
Okay, here's a debt ceiling. Early on, the Democrats had a vote that Reagan knew he needed Democratic votes to pass the debt ceiling. There were more Democrats in the House than Republicans. So his chief of congressional relations went to see Tip O'Neill. And Tip said, sure, I'll give you all the Democratic votes you want. I just want a letter to each of them from President Reagan asking them to do it, so that it won't be used against him in the next election. On tax reform, he said, look, it'll be anti-corporate in many ways, anti-rich people, so I want 50 Republicans on it, and then I'll back it, because it lowered the rates to 28% top rate, but it also equalized the taxes of people who work for a living and people who make money off capital. So capital gains was going to be taxed exactly the same as working. So, I mean, they were going to compromise. A lot of it was horse trading. Give me 100 votes if you want to raise taxes. Give me 50 votes if you want tax reform. On Social Security, and say, okay, I want to make it more progressive, so I want to have sort of an implicit means testing. We'll tax 50% of the Social Security benefits of people who make over $20,000 in those days. But on the other hand, I'll give you a three-month delay in the COLA, in the cost of living adjustment. So it was always, and even that, it was like synchronized, like, the president, Reagan, in that case, would announce, I understand that Speaker O'Neill has agreed to the following terms. They would even synchronize it so Reagan would announce Tip O'Neill's agreement so that there wouldn't be any jumping the gun or blaming the other guy. It was very professional.
Those were the days. Chris Matthews' new book is Tip and the Gipper, When Politics Work. Thanks, Chris, for being with us on Maryland's Morning News.
Hey Bill, thanks so much.